Hi, everyone. Welcome to Domain Sherpin. Thank you for tuning in to the podcast with the best domain name and digital asset content in the world. Today's episode is a Domain Sherpin review titled Lights Out, featuring Shane, Amar, and Drew. On today's show, we played the domain game featuring FaceSwap.com, Migration.ai, and OpenNote.com. And then we've got the NameJet and a Jet segment sponsored by NameJet. And we talk about some domains coming up for auction, including SneakerStore.com, SwimShop.com, ChildCustody.com, and GoStrong.com. And then we talk about using replaceability of domains as an approach for portfolio management and the importance of discoverability in domain search. We also talk about the value of foreign language domains and how the number of speakers of that language matters and what extension they use, and how Google pushing search to .com domains could impact the value of some of the foreign language names. We also go off topic a bit about the recent blackout in Spain and Portugal and the importance of being prepared and aware. And then we also talk about whether 100 dudes could take a gorilla in a fight. All that and more is coming up on today's show. And remember, if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, you can also watch the video version at DomainSherpa.com and on our YouTube channel at DS.TV. You can also listen to the shows on Apple and Spotify and other podcast platforms as well. So please make sure to hit the like button and the subscribe button and all that good stuff everywhere that you can and help Domain Sherpa grow the pie. We also integrate our shows with Muse.ai, which provides search functionality for the shows and transcripts as well. And big shout out to DNWE, short for Domain Name Wholesale Exchange. It's a trading platform designed specifically for domain investors, streamlining the process of buying and selling domain names to make it quicker and easier. With a community of over 3,500 investors, DNWE enhances market liquidity, facilitating more efficient transactions with standard domain listings, reverse auctions, standard auctions, and soon-to-be-added portfolio auctions, including traffic portfolios. DNWE is part of EW3N, a family-run digital asset investment company based in London, England, that also operates DomainManage.com, which is a global sales platform, and Brandable.UK, which is a marketplace for UK and co.UK domain names. And also, big shout out to Unstoppable Domains, the only ICANN-accredited registrar that lets you trade DNS domains on-chain and access crypto investors. With 3% commissions, at-cost renewals, and hundreds of resellers soon to be integrated, they're a cutting-edge marketplace you need to know about and use to get more sales and keep your costs down. Unstoppable can save you thousands in registration costs. They have $5.com Fridays and $1.xyz Wednesdays every week, and $5 off all transfers in, no promo code required. And last but certainly not least, shout out to our own business, Media Options, the number one domain brokerage in the world. Find out more at MediaOptions.com, where you can also sign up for our newsletter for the best domain opportunities available in the market every week, and also featuring key insights and other helpful information related to branding, naming, and domain investing. Yeah, so with all of that, it's now time to get into this episode of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. What's up, Sherpa Network? Thank you for tuning in today. My name is Jonathan Tenenbaum, a.k.a. JT, a.k.a. J-On, a.k.a. Sherpa Winfrey, the host and producer, Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Today's show is a Domain Sherpa review, where we get into the minds of successful domain investors using real examples so we can learn strategies and tactics to become more successful domain name investors ourselves. These are the experts, the OGs, the best in the biz. They're not even guests. They're co-hosts. They're my personal friends, whether or not they'll actually admit it. But we're going to get it. Let's go. There's four segments to a Domain Sherpa review. We got the grand opening. That's where I intro the Sherpas. We see what's going on. Then we talk about some related things, some unrelated things, maybe some domain talk, maybe not. That's what's happening right now. Then we've got the domain game. That's where we hear about what the Sherpas recently bought or sold. Everybody guesses. We keep score. And eventually, somehow, some way, someday, get some swag to the winners. Then we've got NameJet and a Jet, where we review a list of domains coming up for auction on NameJet, see what the Sherpas like and what they don't like. And then last but not least, we got grand closing, where we discuss anything we haven't already covered, what's going on in the domain space, and looking at the market trends, current events, and allowing our guests to mention or promote anything they want to talk about that we have not already discussed. So let's go ahead and introduce the Sherpas. Over to my right, I got my boy Andrew Rosner, a.k.a. Morpheus, a.k.a. the Dirk Diggler of Digital Assets, a.k.a. Bob Lee Swagger the Sniper, a.k.a. Drew. Drew got what I need, a.k.a. every Rosner has his thorn, a.k.a. never going to give Drew up, a.k.a. Cancel Adams, Greybeard the Domain Pirate. What's up, dude?
Oh, man. Well, We survived the Iberian apocalypse yesterday, and but I lost, you know, of all the freaking days in the year, this was, yesterday was the most inconvenient day of the 365 possible days to lose electricity for all the whole day. Yesterday was definitely the least convenient, as I had just returned from like 2 weeks of holiday and was supposed to be, you know, doing a serious catch up. We survived. We survived. But let me just little quick public service announcement. For all of you who like to hate on the preppers, yo, I'm going to, you are the people going to get eaten. Like, let me tell you something. We lost power for about 12 hours. People got Mad Max after about two. Okay. 2 hours in, I'm like, you know what? I better go fill up my car, put some diesel in it. You know, worst case, I can at least like charge phones and stuff. You know, I got a big old, you know, diesel truck thing. So, you know, they hold, I could drive, I don't know, 600 miles or something. You know what I mean? So I could turn that thing on and, you know, charge a small city. So anyways, I was like, I'm going to go fill that up. Now, I am not a hardcore prepper, but I do subscribe. And so I was pretty much prepared. I had my cash. I had my water. I had lots of canned goods. I had, you know, got my toilet paper. I got my everything. I got fire. I got wood. I was ready. All right. But still, nonetheless, I was like, I'm going to go get some diesel. So I wandered out into the city, in the big old world. Let me tell you something. There's no traffic lights. People start wiling out. All right. They don't know how to drive. They're, you know, all these little fools in their little electric cars. Them shits broke down because people are like rushing out at the last second to go grab stuff. And the battery's not charged. So cars are breaking down. So roads are blocked. Then they go to the gas station. Everybody's in a line. There's 100 cars waiting in line to go to the gas station. But guess what? You can't pay with a credit card because that shit don't work when the networks are down. And so, guess what? 95% of these idiots don't have cash. So what do? They fill up their truck and they're like, well, I don't have money. And they're like, well, I don't know what to do about that. And it was a shit show. We had fist fights at the gas station. Luckily, I had my big SUV. I'm driving over freaking medians on the highway. It was great. Anyways, it was a very small little taste of how quickly. Look, I live in Lisbon. Okay, this is a very tempered city. People are calm. They're happy. Like, it's all good. For the most part, this would be one of the places I'd be like, oh, you're all good. Like, no zombie apocalypse in Lisbon. A couple hours in, though, yo, those are the zombies start showing up, and it gets wild. After 2 days, I promise you, people are stabbing each other for water. So, anyways, I highly suggest everybody dip their toe into the prepper world, because I think it is my wife, by the way, is the opposite. She thinks I'm crazy. She hates it. She yells at me. She's like, what the hell kind of shit did you order? I can't believe you bought all this shit. Why is this shit all laying around? Blah, 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 blah. And then the day arrives and I break out my little Midland ER300 radio, emergency radio. And she's like, oh my God, thank God you thought about that in advance. Right? You got this puppy. You got the big old antenna. You got dual band. You got the flashlight.
Is it a, can you crank?
Hell yeah. I can crank. I can crank that thing up. Look, crank it up. Look, you got rechargeable ion lithium battery, or you could put in your AA batteries. Or you put it in the sun and you got the solar panel, or you get your crank on. And so, anyways, most important thing outside of water and cash that I discovered yesterday in our short little incident was this is a lifesaver, because nobody had any freaking clue what the hell was going on unless you have one of these. So anyway, go get you an emergency radio.
Community feedback, everybody, from people in Illinois who deal with this. Get a fucking solar panel, three of them on your house with two batteries for $5,000. As long as it's sunny, you can go a month of charging the batteries and working off the batteries. You can go in your refrigerator. You can do your Starlink, which you can have a Starlink. You only have to pay for it when you want it. It's $150 a month. If you use it 1 month, you can put it away and not use it for 6 months. You should never be without it. Like,
I have.
We just.
So,
you have a Starlink?
I
have battery backups? Like,
and I had the little one, but I didn't have the battery backup.
How about like
gas
generator?
I literally bought that shit. It was sitting here in my office. I never set it up. So I broke it out thinking like, oh, I'm going to figure this shit out. No, I was screwed.
This is what my neighborhood sounds like when the power goes off. It goes like this.
Right.
When I hear that noise, I know that the power's about to go out across the neighborhood because the whole neighborhood goes into generators. Just
so
because everybody has
a
generator.
Yeah, I'm going triple redundant. I'm putting solar on the roof. I'm getting two Tesla power walls and I'm putting in a Generac.
Generac. And go on like, I don't know what you use for propane or what your fuel is, but it's whatever your
gas
grill is on.
That's the beauty of these Generac. They don't give a shit. You can, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
You can burn liquidated human in that thing. That thing is like,
we have a oil one. Yeah, no. There's no excuses. But the problem with everything in life is you don't do anything until it happens, right? Like, that's just how the world works.
That's it. But it's funny because, you know, I'm in all these, like, little local friend groups and all these, you know, different community groups on these different things. And people were freaking the fuck out because most people didn't have a clue. You know what I mean? They were like, they're sitting at home. They got nothing. They got no way to cook. They got no water. They don't know what
the hell's
going on.
You take traveler's checks. I've got these traveler's checks.
And they're like, well, I'll pay you tomorrow. People are like, yo, go tell the Indian dude down the street at the convenience store. You go pay him tomorrow. Dude, he will whoop your ass. You know what I'm saying? Next in line gets the water. That's what happens. So get your cash, get your water, get your emergency radio. You know what I'm saying? Everything else comes after. Food, fire, water.
We got to have a new AKA for Drew. Be Red Hot Chili Prepper. You know what I'm saying? but I dig it, man. And look, here in Florida, you know, we deal with hurricane season. So we're pretty adapted, you know, knowing like, you know, hey, power's out. Okay, what's up? I think that the communication piece is key, you know, and because.
Hey, listen, it is because here's the deal. If you don't know what's going on, uncertainty is the enemy. And so if you don't know what's going on, you panic. If you don't know what's going on, you might react in the wrong way. If you don't know what's going on, it might be a 100-car pileup on the highway, and you're like, yo, let me go get gas, and now you're stuck in that. So you got to have comms. Comms is key.
Comms is key, baby, and .com is key. You guys got any survival domains? Anybody got any kind of like prepper type domains? Anybody?
Uncomfortable.com still.
I probably got something. I don't know what, but we probably got something.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think uncertainty. So let's segue this into domains because I think that, you know, when we talk about deals a lot of the times too, uncertainty kills deals. You know, we.
Uncertainty kills. Uncertainty is the enemy of everything.
So, you know, I think.
Everybody thinks markets don't like bad news. Markets don't give a shit. Good news, bad news. Markets just move. What markets hate is uncertainty.
Well, Drew, I would actually say traders love uncertainty. They love the vol because they make more money. They're just playing the up, down,
up. Those are the traders. The markets themselves become extreme volatile when you have uncertainty.
Yeah, no, and traders in general, right, domain trading stocks, whatever, we like inefficiency. You know, inefficiencies in the market is where we're going to go, you know, and the ups and the downs and, you know, volatility, like all good.
Oh, listen, here's the deal. I love the inefficiency of the prepper versus non-prepper. You know what I'm saying? Like all you non-preppers.
No, he's going to burn them for fuel.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
All you non-preppers, your shit is now mine in that world. You know what I'm saying? Like.
That's it. It's all good. Just waiting. It's like, this is my time to shine. You know, I'm getting out my machete. I'm getting out.
It's just a great meme. I don't remember exactly how it goes, but there's a great meme that circulates once in a while. It's like, I love, what is it? I love seeing my neighbor with the gun. Yeah. The gun. I love it when I love seeing my neighbor with the gun control sign. coming home with big bags of groceries and lots of water because I know I'm good when, you know.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know I'm good when Armageddon comes.
Yeah.
Or when the emergency happens, I know where I'm going to go stock up. But yeah, man, it's, you know, it can get pretty crazy out there. And like I said, in Florida, you know, we've got a couple of different, you know, we deal with every year. And, you know, and I haven't done the Generac. I probably will do one at some point sooner than later. You know, the thing with the Generac, though, you got to also pay to have it like serviced and, you know, every year because
it's not like
$500. It's $500.
Not even that. You can crank that thing on and you just have to run it.
No, but so I think you get a 20-year warranty, 10 or 20-year warranty. But yeah, the warranty is only valid if you get a Generac technician once a year to come service it.
Yeah.
Okay. And, but yeah, man, but that thing will, you know.
At least that's what it used to be when I.
My neighbor just got a Generac like 2 weeks ago. And I pass their house every time I leave my driveway, and I'm like, ooh, that looks pretty nice over there. You know,
the Generac 20 kilowatt. Is basically, it's like the equivalent of the Yamaha Saltwater 250, okay? It's just a absolute indestructible beast. It's tried and true. That motor has been, it's a die-cast motor. It's been around for like 30 years. It doesn't change. It doesn't die. I used it in the most extreme conditions you could possibly imagine in bumfuck middle of nowhere Panama, in extreme conditions at the ocean, in saltwater air, like hot, extreme heat, like it just goes no matter what. Power goes out. I'm not joking. Less than 1 minute, that thing is already running.
How much space do they take?
It's, you know, it's about 4 feet long, 2 feet wide, something like that.
Yeah. I could hide it. Where the pool equipment is or something.
It looks like a pool, like a thing you would put your pool supplies in.
It looks like a pool chest, or it's like double the size of like a heater, you know?
It's about double the size of like if you have a split air conditioner, you got the unit outside, double that, two or three times that. It's got a nice cover on it. It's rounded edges. You know, looks good. It's sharp.
Yeah.
You know, ideally you put it up on like a little concrete ledge. But I'm telling you, you know, Generac makes great generators in general, but the one you want is the 20 kilowatt. 20 kilowatt is just, it's the beast. It doesn't have, you don't want all the little bells and whistles and all the da da da. You just want the 20 kilowatt Generac. That's the one that will not die. No matter what.
Also match it. Like, they'll actually give you, when the sales guy,
your power needs. 20 kilowatts will cover your house. Like, we use a 40 for business, so 20 is fine. Yeah.
You would do that to Tesla?
Yeah. Because you don't know.
It wants to be triple redundant. So
So here's the deal. So the reason triple redundant is that, like, okay, so you live in LA, I live here, or Vegas, either one. I live here in Lisbon. We get a lot of sunshine. So most of the time, your solar is going to be fine, and then you need the batteries for like night, and then, you know, okay, maybe you have a day or two that you don't have any solar, or it's raining, for example. I got, you know, bilge pumps that are below ground. So if it's raining and I don't have electricity, I get flooding. So it's really critical. So if the power could be out, either it's rolling or it's just out for more than, a day, then you need the Generac because the batteries can only recharge with solar. And, the batteries, well, I don't know. I think they only last about a day, you know, if you're really running your house up. You need the triple threat.
And if you have good, the great thing about solar panels, if you have a good computerized system, you can sell back. They'll buy back energy. You sell it at peak rates, and then you
get your
a lot of places now are.
Yeah,
like, depends, yeah, California's out. On, yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, it depends on where you are.
They don't want
Nevada,
to buy power.
Yeah, I think they're trying to eliminate that because they're losing money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We got 3 more years in Illinois. That's why I haven't gone all in, is it doesn't actually pay back anymore.
The thing. And you're saying $5,000. It ain't $5,000. I mean, like.
Well, to run a backup, 2 battery pack that covers my essentials is only 4 panels. So that's all we get. Like, I don't have one to run my house. I just have a 4-panel emergency backup. Like,
okay.
Yeah, accessory. I actually thought I got it because I thought I was going to get an electric car. And I thought this will be enough to charge my car and a backup battery. It doesn't make any sense. I analyzed the money I saved per month versus the cost of money, what I could make investing that money. Just, it's not enough. I might as well take the money, invest it, and I'll make as much as I save in electricity. We just don't pay big rates here in Illinois, and we're not the greatest sun. My sun's pretty good, but it's not Lisbon, is certainly not California. So there is math to it. I'm not one of the guys that, like, oh, I need to do good for the world. I'm fine with the world. I've grown enough trees. My carbon credits are good.
Yeah, you're trying to, like, you know, your carbon footprint, man. You know what I'm saying?
My daughter is literally writing climate change algorithms now. We're good as a family. We're good. We're going to burn some tires in the back.
But I do think it's, you know, it's this idea of planning and just being aware. And obviously, the more that you can be prepared for who knows what's to come, you know, is very, very helpful. And shit gets crazy pretty quick, man. That's what it is.
That was the main point. Is just shocking how quickly, like, you know, there was a lot of fake news and a lot of rumors and, you know, about, you know, people sharing, you know, why they thought it all went down. And so people were freaking out and telling you a couple hours in, people are wild. Well, I would say like 80% of the people are just like, they're chilling. There was like all the plazas were full, all the parks were full. People are just chilling, drinking beers. You know, they were pretty oblivious. But then you kind of, you know, you kind of look around and you're like, all right, there's a few people running around that are on their game, and they're, you know, those are the people you got to watch out for.
And I think it's easier to be calm, right, when you know what's going on and you're prepared and you're not like,
totally.
So it's difference between being calm because you're oblivious and be like, nah, it's cool, it all work itself out, to like, hey, like, what's the deal? Okay, this isn't really that deep. It's not that serious. Let's chill. We're covered. We're good.
The other thing I really appreciated having yesterday was, like, I broke out all my older, like, cast iron pans and, like, you know, big Dutch oven pots. And, you know, I made a big, you know, fire pit in the backyard and cooked everything right on the fire on the coals and everything. And it was great. It was fun.
Into the shit, Drew's like, got the face paint, the Rambo paint, you know what I'm saying? He's straight up Mad Max. He's like, yo,
he's got his, like, coconut on the side that he named his buddy.
exactly. He's like, you know, all of a sudden the lights come back on like 3 hours later and he's like, oh man, I was just about to go out and start doing some drastic stuff, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, my son was sincerely disappointed when the electricity came back. He was like, oh.
Well, you know, I will say that when the lights go out in with here and it's the hurricane time and it's usually just winds, and we know it's not that, again, that, you know, we're not really at risk. You know, it turns into like almost like a little sort of camp out, sleepover, family, like, you know, you just, it changes your routine and it does shock your system a little bit, not in a bad way, to be just aware of like some things. You're a little bit more in tune for a second. I mean, shit, power goes out, you know, hey, put the phones down for a change. You know what I mean? You realize how dependent we are on electricity, on gadgets, on fucking tech. And that shit sometimes is just so overwhelming, man. We're like ruled by blue light. So sometimes it's better when it's lights out. You know what I'm saying? That'll be the name of the show today. Mm-hmm. Lights out, baby.
It's fun taking your kids camping and you get to, like, in Leadville, about 3 miles out, no more phone service. And they're just like,
yeah.
How long is the phone going to be out? And I go, from this point on, baby, like, exactly. Yeah, nothing. What if we get lost? Better have your maps on. I'm like, how do you read a map? What's B4? What does B4 mean? B4. Like,
and you better learn before you get lost out here. You know what I'm saying? That's what B4.
Yeah, I said, you didn't download podcast. That's what I told her. You didn't download podcast? You didn't tell me we weren't going to have, you know, those kind of things. Meanwhile, I've got all my videos, like, downloaded onto my phone. I'm watching, like, old Andy Griffiths laughing.
Hey, man, the prep is where it's at. The prep and awareness and all that stuff. So, all right, well, let's keep it moving. Glad Drew survived the Iberian apocalypse. We are, it was a little crazy, though, where all of a sudden, like, you just went dark yesterday. And, like,
well, I tell you what, you know, I mean, this does pertain to domains. You're sitting there thinking, like, you know, cause, like I said, there was a lot of fake news going around. People are like, oh, you know, this is, basically Russia attacking and, you know, EMP and all this shit going. So you're kind of sitting there and you're like, damn, you know, like if this is the real deal, everything I own is basically worthless except my house and whatever's inside. Like all that other shit, all the domains, your Bitcoin, the money in your bank account, whatever it is you've got, it's worthless. It literally is worth zero. In that moment, the only thing you've got is the shelter of your home and whatever stuff you've got inside to get you through. That's it. Everything else is worthless. But that cash becomes real valuable real quick.
Yeah, the cash piece is interesting because then that was something I saw in some of the, the videos and things and, the lines and some of the stuff, the issues in the grocery stores where people couldn't buy the stuff even if they wanted to. And then again, it's just you realize how much we're dependent on not just electricity, but also the internet and the network in general, right? So when the network goes down, that was one of the craziest things because I was like trying to call you and I realized like WhatsApp is web, there was like, there's no bat phone, to pick up and like, there's no transatlantic CB radio, like, yo, breaker 1-9, man, what's up? You know what I'm saying? You in the dark? So just be prepared, y'all. So listen.
So your cell phone towers don't have generators either?
Well, a lot of them, the battery, from what I saw, a lot of them, once they ran out of power, they were done. Dunzo.
Man, yeah. Every tower we have has this giant building of a backup.
I don't know. I have a couple of threads that I've saved that I want to dig into, like electrical engineering threads that kind of broke down what happened. I really want to read it and try to understand better. But it seems that, I don't know. I don't know why the cell towers were all out because I would think that they would have backup generators.
Ours have two-day tanks. Like I see them servicing them all the time. Two-day, I think they're diesel tanks to run each tower. I don't know. Again, long-term, nobody's prepared for long-term, but a day or two, I would think they'd have better.
But we had nothing. We had no data, nothing. In the first hour or two, like my wife's phone, she could do like texting. And I couldn't. I have a German contract, and my thing was bricked. My phone was bricked. I couldn't do nothing. She could text for like a couple hours, and then that was it. And she was bricked too.
You need the Garmin, the one that all the hikers use. We all carry a Garmin that you can satellite text. You can only get a couple sentences out. Like pick.
Oh yeah.
Up. Yeah, everybody carries it. Yeah, if you look. Once you have one, you'll notice everybody has them who hikes because it's a little red thing. Everybody keeps it right here, and it's a satellite and texting in case you get in trouble. It works anywhere, obviously, because it's satellite. The little Garmin thing, it's a couple $100, and you don't go hiking without it because it's.
I'm going to get one of those.
My phone now.
Look, my shit showed the little thing. oh, look, you connected to the satellite. Shit didn't work.
Oh, mine supposedly, I haven't tested it, but supposedly it's Starlink.
Yeah. Yeah. They did. They're testing yours. Exactly. Yeah. That's what I heard. All good info.
It is good stuff. All right. Well, let's keep it moving. And because we're still in the AKA. So I'm like, today we're going to kind of move quick through the show, So down to my lower right, we got my boy Shane Coulter, AKA Sugar Shane, AKA Honey Shane, AKA Blame It on the Shane, AKA House of Shane, AKA the Blue Oyster Coulter, AKA the Coulter Personality, the Coulter Club, doing it for the Coulter, all that good stuff. What's up, man?
Good time of year, spring. I was just thinking, laying in bed this morning with a warm breeze blowing across the house, I was like, feels like I'm on vacation again. Yeah, it's a good time of year. Ran a half marathon. I'm trying to get back under an hour 30. Getting hard, getting old. I'm going to have to train a little harder. So all's good. The mains, working out, loving life, doing a little traveling. Take my mom to, I think I said this last show, taking my mom to the Chelsea Garden Show. She's always wanted to go to the Chelsea Garden Show. I said, let's go. Let's go check it out. Heard it's a pretty good event. Going to do that. Going to go to Leadville here in another month. Go check out the mountains. Living the domain life, right? Moving, shaking. Wherever you're at, you can still move and shake.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's you embody that, man. You embody the life of a successful domain investor who just lives where he wants to live and does what he wants to do. But, you know, you're always working hard. So that's the thing.
Yeah, I mean, I still put in the hours. I still always work 40 hours a week. I just want to see a different thing out my window. And I want to put something down and go outside, right? Like, I still joke. I still haven't seen The Godfather yet. Like, that's on my list. I got to probably watch that. <That's funny. laughs> But
Mars touching grass, right? Mars touching grass,
literally
right now,
touching.
Man.
Yeah, it needs to be mowed. I think it's
right now. He looks like you on some. Well, here I'll say what I intro you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, dope.
Anyway, all good. Yeah, we'll talk. We got plenty of time to talk about what we're doing as we go.
Yeah, otherwise, but Godfather, man, we got to make that. You know, it's like
yeah. I was thinking about having a big like party with my friends and having them come over and have me watch it for the first time. I thought that'd be pretty funny.
Like a round of golf, you got to be willing to put in, you know, you need to set aside 3 to 4 hours, you know?
And yeah, I think I'm just going to watch all three.
Godfather when I was 15.
Yeah. I think I know the movie because so many people have talked about it. It's one of those things. Like, yeah. I'm pretty sure I know the whole movie at this point by watching clips, but I haven't sat down. And even like today, they said the best movie ever made. I'm like, I probably need to watch it.
Nah. Amazing movie. Great movie. Amazing movie. But. Not the best movie ever.
No,
made.
I think
not
Spielberg
even,
said it was the best directed movie. That was Spielberg's directed.
So. Yeah, I mean, look, it's a classic on so many levels. And it's, you know, also older movies, it's a question of how well they hold up, you know, and I think that it has held up very well. But older movies are just naturally a little bit slower. You know, the exposition, like we weren't in such a attention span, fucking hyper.
We have such quality entertainment, like. You know, again, we're not to get on a tangent because we got to roll, but like Last of Us, the new HBO specials based on the second episode was just amazing television. I mean, was crazy.
The production quality. I talk about this we won't turn this totally into a pop, although I'm super down for a pop culture session. We pulled Jen in here, like we'll get it cracking. But, you know, Sopranos actually, you know, which is kind of parallel in some ways to The Godfather, was a turning point in TV where HBO, because they started putting, you know, real money into, like, you know, we went from sitcom or the closest that you would have, you know, dramas on, you know, network television turned into, you know, cinema quality TV shows, right? And now Netflix and, I mean, AI is going to even change the game further where you can create the kind of visual and sort of production quality on a much smaller budget, but also like, you know, they pumped so much money into a lot of the different streaming networks and their content. They scaled some of that back, you know, but, you know, it's just the difference of the old stuff. Again, it's about how well does it hold up? And, you know, back then that was groundbreaking in the storytelling and just the scope of the story and how well done it was. But, you know, it's hard to watch a movie from, you know, the 70s or the 80s and like completely be locked in. Try watching a movie with your kids that you're like, oh, this was the fucking bomb back in the day, you know, and you put something on like we did. You know, we try to watch the Goonies with them and they're like, what the fuck is this? You know what I'm saying? They're like, you know, like they were into it kind of, but they were also like, yeah, that was all right. But I'm gonna go watch YouTube shorts. You know what I mean? So it's like trying to find the right fit. And even us as adults without having as much time, what I think is crazy is how we won't watch like a 2-hour movie, but I'll binge 4 hours of a show like it's no big deal. You know what I'm saying? It's like just the idea of trying to commit to 2 hours is like, nah, I don't have that kind of time. It's like 8 hours later, I'm like, yo, what's up with season two?
Yeah. I think it's amazing. Like I've started doing social media. I've been using great handles that we're so good at finding and doing social media and working on the algorithm and what is popular and what gets views and what doesn't. It's just, it's an amazing game of how people react to certain things. And there's this steadfast, beautiful woman thing like that. That's worked for 100 years. I don't care what your movie is, a beautiful girl will hold your eyes on the screen. A beautiful girl will still hold your eyes on a short, long, 2-hour, 10 hours. I mean, like I used to say, if Charlize Theron in her day, I would pay money to just watch her walk across the screen for 2 hours back and forth, just reciting the phone book. Like she was just that beautiful. So I think some things haven't changed, but it is, I think it's a fun game to see how people react and how long do they stay and watch. And where it just, to me, it's even at this age, I'm pretty excited to see how entertainment and how you hold people has changed over the years. And it does change.
Oh, but I mean, but I'll tell you, the production quality, I mean, there's just a lot of great stuff that it's not enough time in the day for all of it. Like, I have an iPad that has all of the shows I want to get into, and I've got the first three episodes of like six different shows, including like Severance, Fallout is another one. You know, I actually have, The Last of Us is on there as well, you know, so it's like, and I've seen a handful of shows. I watch some TV, not a ton, but.
All right, let's go. Move on to Honey, I Shrunk
the Kids. Oh, now we're moving on. Now he's like, oh, let's move on. All right. So, yeah, that's. Last but certainly not least, we got my boy, the one and only Amar Kuba, a.k.a. King Kuba, a.k.a. Danny Ocean, a.k.a. the even greater Gatsby. Don't chase an unworthy dream, y'all. A.k.a. Amar Zan, a.k.a. Kuba Libre, a.k.a. LL Amar J, a.k.a. Kuba Soze. That's another great movie, as usual suspects. And a.k.a. Honey, I Shrunk Amar. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what you... You look like you're about to roll up on a candy bar wrapper that's going to be bigger than you. You know what I'm saying? So, what's up, man?
Drew is giving me shit for my lack of decor. But so this will be better than a blank wall until I have some decor to speak of.
Some decor. I like it. Well, speaking of decor.
Oh, speaking of decor, it's on the list.
There's a related name on the list. That'll work out absolutely perfect. So, yeah, man. All right. Well, what's up? Anything else good?
Everything's fantastic. Just going to get some work done, and then I'm going to go play some pickleball. Life is good.
All right, let's go. All right, cool. Well, that's what's up. Well, let's slide into the domain game. Drew, we're going to start with you. We got a buy or a sell. I think everybody knows the rules. You know, one domain, everybody knows the rules. What you got?
All right. I'll do a little sale.
All right, little sale. Let's go.
FaceSwap.com.
Not on it.
FaceSwap.
FaceSwap.com.
That sounds like a perfect name for an app.
Oh, dude.
It's like Amar wishes he could switch his face with mine.
All you got to do is go to FaceSwap.com and you can make that happen on the internet. You know what I'm saying? Go swap your face. But hey, in the world of AI and, you know, with all these different apps and things, I mean, it's actually pretty crazy. Plus, like, you know, visual, like facial recognition. I mean, there's a whole lot there. All right, let's go. It's just you two. I'm out on this one. So,
all right.
3, 2, 1. What do we got? Head to head. Boom. Ooh, look at that. Okay.
It's a tight race.
Amar at 24,000. Pull it back a little bit there. Rick Moranis, 24,995. And on the other side, we got 27,500 by Shane. Shane's at $27,500. So,
by the way, I had 25,000. I changed it when because I felt it. Him getting close.
This is basically an over-under deal.
Yeah.
So, by the way, I apologize in advance. I literally can't smile properly because I burnt my lips so bad in the Maldives, the sun, that it's like, it looks like I simply punched me in the face twice and my lip is like split. And so it hurts to smile. It hurts to like do anything.
Hurts to laugh.
Anyways.
Yeah.
So I'm real awkward with my mouth. Like, I can't move my mouth properly. Anyways.
That's what she said.
You look like Fire Marshal Bill in here. Let me show you something.
Dave, that's how I feel. I feel like Fire Marshal Bill.
Billy, throw Fire Marshal Bill on the screen.
Let me tell you something.
Let me tell you something.
The correct answer is $45,000. Shane wins.
Shane, let's go. Sugar Shane.
Nice.
Round one.
Wait, right. What was your number, Shane?
27,575.
So it was 45K. How long did you have it, Drew? What'd you pay for it when you acquired it? What's good? Where'd you sell it?
You ask all kinds of questions.
Same ones every fucking time. Same shit every day.
ChatGPT. When did I buy this name?
When did I buy this name? ChatGPT.
That's what I want. I want somebody to come over here and just give me a little, you know, personal implementation of one of these AI LLMs, because I don't want this shit getting my data and all that. I just want to be like, yo, Jarvis, get find this shit, look this up, tell me the answer to this.
You missed last show.
I was just going to say that, Shane. And you know, I didn't watch it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, you literally can.
So we literally had that whole conversation about how to make some stuff like that happen using something like Zapier in the middle so it doesn't have access. This was Shane literally his whole thing, talking about how it doesn't have access. This is
that's all I want to do. I want to talk into my phone and say, today I bought this thing.
Is there a person that can do that right now for me?
Yeah, I mean, I just had it from Uphants help me, and Travis helped me a little bit. But yeah, it's not too hard. It depends how integrated you want. If you just want it to be a spreadsheet that you enter through text or voice, that's pretty simple.
Like,
that's
you really can literally simple. Have it at this point, Drew. We can take our Airtable, plug it in, and then set up a GPT to where you can literally ask it, hey, how many names do I have that, you know, have the word blank in it? And it will literally kick it back. And you could do it.
Yeah. If you out there, person who builds this type of shit, please be in contact, drew@drew.com. I got work for you. We're going to build something real cool. Going to change the world. At least my world. Here's the deal. Answer to your question. I bought this domain name in 2016. And I paid
his domain manager bad.
I should pull it up and just do it for him, but
you don't know shit.
I might find it. Hey,
ChatGPT, tell me what Drew paid for.
I think I paid $5,000 for it.
Hey, $5,000 and a 45.
I actually think I paid less, but
I would say if you paid $5,000 for that, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Maybe you bought it during the Face Off movie. Time.
Well,
dude, you bought it for $1,000, man. Come on.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
You don't need ChatGPT. You got ChatGPT.
Oh, yeah. Here it is. I got it. Wow, this was a talk.
GJT.
Yo, hold up. Ready. Listen, check this out. I bought this in a little small portfolio. Check this out. I got In debt.com, $1,000. Solarinstallation.com, $1,000. FaceSwap.com, $1,000. Creditfile.com, $1,000. Culinary Shop, $1,000. Microfinance.com, $1,000. PaidApps.com, that's garbage. And then GoSearch.com for $1,000. Now, I sold GoSearch already for $15.
In debt is a really good one.
Oh yeah, in debt for $1,000.
Yeah.
Give me some of that.
Nice buy.
Solar installation for $1,000 is also a banger. Anyways, I guess that portfolio paid off.
There you go, man. Boom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hey, same deal. You know, you make money on the buy. That's what we say. And you have to have some
Look at that. 9 years, 9x return.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty solid.
Sorry. I'm going off the $5,000 I thought I paid. No. 9 years, 45x return.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, good stuff and good work, Shane, to get the first point. What about you? Let's get moving on the next name. What you got? You got to buy. You got to sell.
Since I was on last week, my buys weren't too excited. I was buying all 5Ls, so nothing exciting. But I saw a good one come through today. Not my sale, but it's a good one to talk about. Migration.ai. Okay. It's sold. Well, obviously somebody bought it too, but it's sold.
Migration.ai.
.ai.com.
Migration.
Amar forgot what he's supposed to do here.
I'm thinking, bro.
Migration.ai.
It was a buy?
Well,
yeah.
It was a
reported sale. How about that?
A reported sale. Okay.
All right. I did not see it. So.
Well, it literally came through 30 minutes before the show. So I figured
let's go then before somebody goes and looks it up. All right. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Ooh, okay. Ooh. Drew's at 15,369. I'm at 18,000. And Amar's at $29,995.
Drew is an AI specialist. $15,000, $14,999. Sold at Cito. So somebody bought it at Cedo.
That's interesting. Yeah. Okay, cool.
It's the Vajra.
My guess is it's a domain investor. I really do think that. Again, we're going to find out, but I'm pretty sure because you guys in DNX have gotten into this next level picking off listings and people are picking off higher listings, right? Like starting to venture into the above wholesale retail. You're seeing a lot more of it.
DNX is changing the game. Big shout out to Josh, man. I mean,
it seriously. Really is
pretty... Yeah, I mean, I think it's great. Again, this has always been there, right? It's discoverability. That's a key word here, right? This data has been sitting in front of us forever. And without going on a tangent, and we don't need to talk about it, but I did a post where, you know, GoDaddy and Adam get a high commission. They get a high commission because they have good discoverability. That's what you're paying for, more people to see it. Whether you think it is or not, it's obviously good enough that they don't feel they have to reduce it. DNX is great discoverability. Anything that takes data and puts it in a way that you can find it easier has value. It's less value as we move forward, I will say, because AI is making discoverability easier, but it will always be the case. It'll always be the case.
You know, inefficient markets.
It ain't brain surgery. It's search, sort, filter. That's what you need. Proper tools to search, sort, and filter. You can do that.
It's always been sitting at vision.io, but nobody knew it was there. Like, it wasn't as good.
You need a good, strong brand like DNX.com. And you need
Josh pushing it every day to domain.
Yeah, you need competent operators.
And of course,
you need strong business partners.
Oh, yeah, that part's true. Let's go.
Yeah.
It is true, though. And really, huge shout out to Josh, man. I love the work that he's doing. We've always had a lot of
work.
I mean, he's always been our boy. But I just have been so impressed watching him work and being a part of that it's just... You know,
Super Bowl's always had the energy, right? We always knew Super Bowl had the energy. And now he's got it all. That ball's moving in the one direction, and that's powerful, right? Like, he's always had it in him. He just needed, I'll say this to him. All he needed was to find something he loved and looked forward to building. And once he's all in, dude's unstoppable. So I think it's great. Awesome. Yeah. Proud of him. Doing a great job.
All right. Well, let's keep it moving. So who got the point there? That was Drew got it. All right. So
that's me, baby.
We got one more to go. Amar, let's see what it is, man. Let's see what you got.
All right. We have a sell. We have opennote.com.
OpenNote. Ooh, I like that.
That can be
OpenNote.
OpenNotes.com.
OpenNote. Yummy. OpenNote.
Open names have jumped in value here.
OpenNote.com. Let's go.
Okay.
Get it. All right, we ready? Flip it. All right, 15,000 on JT. Jane's got 29,500 and Drew's at $34,369.
Shane gets it. It was
24,900.
And pulls in the win.
I was
29,400.
24,900.
Oh, I almost got to spin the wheel. Like an exact match is 10 grand, right? Wheel of Fortune.
I had 25,369, and I bumped to 34.
Yes. So I've had that name forever. I have a bunch of open names. So I've had it, I think, since 2009, if I recall, when I looked, and I paid $400 for it back then. So it was a nice return.
Very good.
Took a while, but it was a nice return. I can tell you actually exactly when I bought it. I bought it in, 2012, and I paid $401.
Nice.
Good stuff, man. Nice work. So, another win for the good guys. You know what I'm saying? So,
you got to keep those wins so you can hold the other names, right? Like people say, oh, I can't hold a name that long. If you have a couple wins in there, it allows you to keep those names just paid for and keep rolling. And I had a hand register I sold after 17 years, and people are like, you paid renewal for 17 years? And I'm like, that's what? $180, you couldn't pick up those names anymore. You hold those names.
Great brand.
Yeah.
No. And it makes it so much easier now. Like the decision's a lot easier now on com versus anything else, because the renewals are just getting so stupid on the other
occasion. Yeah. Yeah.
And you like try to replace the name, right? Look at the price to replace that name. You're better off. Obviously, you've got the renewals. That's nothing compared to trying to replace that.
That's let's talk about that for a second. Yeah, real quick. Yeah,
I'm a lot less likely to drop a .com versus the other extensions.
Yeah. Well, I think that, and then the idea of replacing a domain, right? If you're thinking one in, one out kind of deal, or hey, I'm gonna drop a name because it's just not worth continuing to keep. But, you know, I want to keep my portfolio at a certain level. So, Shane, is that kind of how you...
Yeah, so I've repriced all my names to what I think the cost... My 10X now is not 10X on cost anymore. It's 10X on replaceability. You know, do I get that right all the time? No. But I've gone back, and part of this AI thing you need to build, Drew, is when's the last time I replaced... Give me a list in order of the last time I changed the price in the name. And that's something that you need to look at. You have to look at your names and you have to update your prices, because DNX is picking off people that aren't changing their prices, right?
Yeah.
That's literally the role of that, is people that miss price.
That's so it.
If you're making a living building a site that has mispriced names, then you better be on your own portfolio making sure you're not part of that process or part of that inventory. So I think that's really important. And that's what good domain investors know what it costs. That's why the auctions are important, right? Is to, even if you're not buying, to pay attention every day to see what they go for so that you know where you stand in relation to the pricing of your names. So
yep,
that's our job.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think you nailed it, dude. And I think that's part of what, you know, why it works. It works for some. It's, you know, how you have to be able to, you got to do the work, and
yeah,
you know, you got to have a strategy that works. So It's all part of it. But all right, well, cool. Well, that's the domain game. And Shane, nice job. Congratulations on the win. I do have an XL hoodie that I think will fit you.
Josh, I'm working towards it. I got a 2-hour lift this afternoon that'll get me closer. So
like I'm taking creatine. I'm just trying to fit into that XL, baby.
Yeah. Speaking of which, again, not get on tangent, but man, a dude in jeans jacked up, like as muscly as I've ever seen. In full jeans, ran Boston in 2 hours and 38 minutes at 5:40 pace. Like,
yeah,
the athletes, right. Yeah.
He ran like two.
I just heard about him on Joe Rogan. He's like the son of some other super athlete.
Yeah, he did. And he also did 10,001 pull ups in 24 hours.
Like he beat David Goggins' record.
Yeah.
He ran the Boston Marathon in jeans.
In jeans and 2 hours and 38 minutes. Like,
yeah, just shirtless, 5:40
pace.
Shirtless and jeans. And he's not like, he doesn't look like a runner. Dude, he's jacked. He's a freaking beast. He's a beast. And he's like, it's
unbelievable.
Like,
The athletic ability of people are now big and fast. And yeah, anyway, this, you know, we talk about content creation and AI and all these things that are getting harder to get discoverability now. Athletes are getting everything's getting bigger, faster, stronger, more handsome. Like, this world's tough to compete. I'm glad I'm not a kid coming up, because man, there's a lot of stuff. It's hard to compete in this world. There are some incredible people.
Yeah. It's a big world, you know, a lot of different ways to make your mark, you know,
to find your place, right? Everybody's good at something. Just some people, something sucks.
Look, I'm as competitive as the next guy, or probably more competitive than.
Yeah, I'd say you're more. I'm in third party. I'm gonna say more.
He was literally competing on the streets of Lisbon of who's more ready to rock and roll Armageddon.
but I will say, you know, I do subscribe to the Peter Thiel theory, which is, you know, competing is for losers. You got to find a game where there is no competition.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. You're always competing with yourself. I think to me.
Oh, yeah. That's ultimately what it is. That's
when you get old, you don't have any other choice, man. I will tell you right now, I'm not beating anybody. So I'm literally competing against myself. And there's always somebody richer, somebody faster, somebody stronger. It's just me.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I went for a run the other day when we were in Tampa this weekend, and it was like 90 degrees. And I'm out for a run. And you know, I did a quick 5 miles. Shane, maybe we talked like right before that or something. But there was some random dude running behind me, you know, and like kept gaining ground, you know, and I'm like, do I really just start going all out just to stay in front as long as I can? Like, this doesn't matter at all. But now it matters more than anything's ever mattered to me in my life. I think I literally pulled my hip muscle just being like, fuck this guy, this random dude, just happened to pop out from a neighborhood, you know, like just having to pop out like 100 yards behind. And it was like, under no circumstances is this dude going to pass me. No, get done throwing up. I'm like, yo, totally worth it. Fuck that guy.
I trained 6 months for the Boston Marathon and got passed in the finish by a guy in a gorilla suit. It just kind of put everything in perspective.
Yo, speaking of gorilla, what about this whole 100 gorillas, 100 dudes versus the gorilla? Real quick, let's not spend a whole lot of time.
I don't know. Where did it originate? I know everybody's
talking
about
it. Some dude posted something pretty funny.
Look, there's way better, like, you know, matchups that you can, you know, that you can make.
Because,
well, like,
you know what, we said it with my kids.
Gorilla, if you put an adult male gorilla against, you put 500 people, that gorilla can fuck all of them up. I don't give a shit.
Well, hold on, time out.
Have you ever actually gone and seen a silverback gorilla? Because I'm telling you right now, dude, you could give me anybody. You could give me like 100 Arnold Schwarzeneggers in his prime, and that gorilla will rip his arms off. Literally, it takes a silverback approximately 1.3 seconds to rip both of your arms off and move on to the next guy. You know what I'm saying? Like,
just well, you make out, it an out. Accurate I mean, number hold on. Doesn't make
hold
it
on, hold on. Hold on.
Go rip both arms off and then beat you with the, you know, beat you with the arms from the last
hold
guy.
Hold on, man. Because this is what I want to say. The post that started the whole thing was the dude basically said 100 dudes could take a gorilla, but they got to be dedicated to the shit. You know what I'm saying? And that's the thing. It's like you have
to be dedicated. The key word is dead. That's the key word.
No, I think I could find 99 people that could take a gorilla with me.
The first 30 have to be prepared to die. And it has to be some fucking militant kind of shit where they're like, look, because you have to surround the gorilla. You can't just go one at a time. My kids and I, we have this conversation over dinner sometimes. And my wife thinks it's like, she's like, what is wrong with you guys? Because I'll say, hey, how many 5-year-olds do you think you could beat up before they subdue you?
Yeah.
You know, Jackson. And he's like, 5-year-olds.
That's an old one. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's like, well, who, like, and then he's like, well, who's a 5-year-old? Like, you know, give me some context. And we're like, oh, so-and-so's little brother. And he's like, oh, I'll fucking fuck all them up, man. I think 50 before I get tired. You know, he's like, I'll just be like, pop, pop, pop.
This but isn't like, a Jackie Chan movie where they take you one at a time and
exactly.
line up.
Like, you have to be like, you have to be on some Spartan shit.
Stop.
You have to
listen,
literally surround
stop, 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 stop. Listen to me. First off, you're being unrealistic. People are not that coordinated, especially when they don't have weapons. The first time they see it, No. Listen, after the first dude gets his head bit and his fucking head pops like a watermelon, gets smashed in the street, let me tell you something. Them other 99, they aren't coordinated anymore. You know what I'm saying? And so, look, the reality, we're trying to deal with reality. And in the reality, 99, 100 people could charge a gorilla. That gorilla, like, okay, let's start with first principles. How is it that a human being, I don't care, one human being, 20 human beings, are going to actually kill a gorilla? Like, do you think that your bare hands are going to do a guy? Listen, choke? You ever see the neck of a gorilla?
I'm just taking me and the two Diaz brothers, and we got it.
Listen, I mean, the individuals that you have, I promise you
are not going to be able to kill the gorilla. And
Nick,
so
Nick Diaz will. I got Nick.
You gotta like choke it out.
This thing's like, what do you mean choke it out? You ever seen the neck of a gorilla? Dude, that thing will go, it'll just go off and bite your arm off.
You have to send
have to surround the gorilla, right? And then they have to attack it and try to get its limbs and hold its limbs down. Then they gotta beat on its head.
This is real. I will put up $1 million. Right here on the show, 100 people. I don't give a fuck who you are. 100 stupid people that want to fight a silverback gorilla.
I think Mr. Beast already put 100 million up. So
yeah, like I want to see it happen because there are people that are stupid enough to do this. I will watch it on pay per view. I will laugh. I'll get popcorn, and then I'll say I was right.
I don't think it'd be fun to watch. I think it'd be pretty cool. You know,
I think it would be fucking fantastic. I would watch 100 people get torn up by a gorilla.
I do think that you're right. Like the gorillas, like the damage they can do so fast, like they can literally rip your arm off real quick. So you have to attack the gorilla in a coordinated manner, and everyone's got to be about the shit. That's what it is. Okay. Everyone's got to be about the shit.
I think 100 people have a better chance of killing like a Bengal tiger than killing a gorilla. Like a gorilla is just going to fuck you up so bad you have no idea. Gorillas.
Oh, somebody, I know we'll keep it moving. You know, we'll keep it moving. I hear you. But then somebody posted something online that I thought was funny. They're like, really, what has to happen is the first like 10 dudes that get killed, the other guy's got to grab their bones, go break out real quick and turn those into weapons, and then come back and kill the gorilla with the bones of the first 10 dead people.
No, because the whole thing says unarmed, unarmed. And let me tell you something. They all going to be unarmed because they're going to rip their damn arms off. You know what I'm saying?
They're going to be unarmed, like, neck.
Boom, unarmed. Here you go.
But I think it depends who the 100 guys are.
No, dude, listen to me. You just go to the fucking zoo. You can't. There's nothing you're going to do to hurt that gorilla. Nothing. You could have 100 people throwing freaking right hooks on the gorilla at the same time, and that gorilla is going to fart and knock them all down. That thing is going to, listen, they can, I think what I saw is. What
if you tell 10 dudes each to grab a limb? No.
Listen, this is what I want to say. 10 dudes, right? What's 10 dudes weigh? 10 dudes, let's say they were huge. They're 200 pounds each. So you got 2,000 pounds. Guess what? A gorilla, a male silverback gorilla, adult male, can lift 1,800 pounds each arm above his head. So he's going to take 20 dudes and go fucking press them and smash them. You know what I'm saying? Dude, you don't get it. A gorilla is a gorilla. It's not something to play with. That thing will fucking destroy you. Destroy you. You have no chance. 100 people,
just shaking their head.
200 like, people, nobody is taking down a gorilla. Nobody.
I can't come up with dinner suggestions, but I put 2 or 3 hours into the thought about a gorilla versus 100 guys. Like,
yo, 100 dudes is a lot. Like, I mean,
my wife is just shaking her head.
Yo,
like, you guys,
yo, ask Bonnie Blue. Dude. You know what I'm saying? 100 dudes is a lot of dudes. You know what I'm saying? That's a lot. Yeah, no, I
look, the 100 dudes couldn't even break a little British girl. You know what I'm saying?
I was just about to say the same thing. I know one girl that could take on 100 men, but nobody's dying.
Yeah.
Oh man, dude, not yet. God. You know what I'm saying? Give it what? Like, give it about a year and a half.
Oh man, this is fan. You gotta love this. All right, let's go.
Moving on.
Media Options is the industry's leading domain broker, specializing in domain acquisitions, high value domain sales, and domain name consultation. As pioneers and thought leaders on the subject of the domain aftermarket and domain name value, plus through their clear domain acquisition service, Media Options offers startups and established corporations an unparalleled scope of high-value domain options, providing access to domain names and curation technologies not available elsewhere. Media Options believes in the power of a great domain name and is dedicated to helping you obtain yours. Call or email today to put a domain to work for you.
Yeah, we're gonna do name. Speaking of, we're gonna do name jet gonna jet right now. It's a big shout out to name jet. They're like, we're sponsoring this.
Thank you for sponsoring the Monkey Talk.
So, but we're talking about some domains coming up for auction. See what the Sherpas like, what they don't like. Go to the site, pull down the Excel spreadsheet. Give you some other info and whatnot to help you here in your journey. Not financial advice. But let's just dive right into it because we're running on time. We said we're going to keep it short, and here we go. But all right, Shane, we'll go with you first, then Amar, then Drew. What do you like on the list, and what don't you like?
I think the name's good, especially more build out, right? Like, I think that it needs content to truly, like, I think indigenous.org is a fantastic name. It's a name that we use quite a bit now. And I think it can go to good use. Are they going to pay a ton of money for it? I don't know, but I think it's a great name and it has a lot of social use, I guess is a word. So I like indigenous.org. At auction, what do I think it's going to sell for? $6,000 or $8,000, I think it goes for, would be my guess. On the price on that one. Obviously, the one we all see is Go Strong, and we think Adam as the man that owns Go Strong, and people are looking for alternatives to Strong. If I were Adam, I would buy that up to give them one less alternative to Strong. Although I don't think he's going to sell it. You think Adam would ever sell Strong.com? I don't think there's a price that he would.
Nobody says Go Strong. People say Be Strong.
No, I mean, if you name your company Strong, right? Like,
yeah, but it's
like if your brand is Strong. Get strong.
Yeah. Get strong.
Go hard. Go hard. Be strong.
No. I don't think it's a term. I just think it's somebody names their company Strong and they need get strong, go strong. Like,
they're not gonna be able, what he's saying is that they won't be able to get strong.com because Adam is going to diamond hand that. But it depends. I mean, I'm sure there's a number at some point that he's like, you know, I can work that.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying is as an alternative. I think you're right, Drew. Nobody says go strong. That's not something. Another one I like is child custody. If you've ever known somebody that is, especially on the male side, trying to get custody of their kids, there's a lot of lawyering up for that. And there's a lot of people that specialize in both sides of that, sure, is keeping custody for male and female, mother and father. So I think that's a huge name. A lot of lead gen possibility for that name. I really like that one as well. The other one is Swim Shop. People don't realize as well, but a lot of money is spent on goggles and fins and gear for people that are swimmers, not just teams, but recreational sports as well. So I think Swim Shop's a really good name to sell that kind of gear when it comes to swimming.
Yeah,
that's
all right, good. All right, well, that's it.
Yeah, and Tucson's a build out. Like, Tucson's obviously a big city, a great opportunity, and org always works well on a site when it comes to travel and visitation and all that kind of stuff. So those are the names I like.
Cool. Amar, what about you, bro?
So I think Indigenous, obviously great name, but I don't think you're going to make a lot of money on that name. So it's a great end user name and those, you can really do a great build out, but you're not going to make money on it, in my opinion. I think the two names that have the most potential for me would be Child Custody and Comer, which is also a last name, but it's also to eat in
Spanish. Yeah,
I was looking this up, trying to figure out what ranking Spanish is in the most spoken languages in the world. And I kept getting two different answers. One of them had it number two and one of them had it number four. So
number four,
it can't be two. It's Chinese Mandarin. And English. Yeah. Yeah,
I'm telling you what there were a lot of reputable sources that.
Yeah, I actually thought it was number two as well. Yeah. You literally have all of Latin America except Brazil.
Oh, plus, it's more than English, you're saying. It's definitely not more than Chinese or Mandarin.
No, but I think English is number one. Spanish is two. Mandarin is three. That's what I thought.
Here's the thing. It's depending on which sources you were looking at, some had Mandarin number one, some had English number one.
Probably the difference that you're seeing, though, is spoken as a first language or just spoken.
Right. I think that I didn't dig into it too much more, but the point is, either way, it's a top five language, and that's a hell of a keyword. So those are the two best names, in my opinion. I think Child Custody, it's a huge issue that people are willing to spend a lot of money on. That's why that one's valuable, right? Because people will spend a lot of money to get custody of their kid. And so I think lead gen wise, or it's very authoritative, great names. Since we talked about decor earlier, I'm quickly learning how much money there is in remodeling, renovation, and all things house related. Yeah. You're not going to get rich on that name, but it's a nice name. You know, if you could pick that up.
Decorland.com.
If you could pick that up for $1,000, I think that's a 10K name, no problem.
Yeah, or you could buy, I used to have Deco.com. We sold that to Israeli cybersecurity startup, but we still got D.Echo.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we sold, we helped Restoration Hardware get RH.com. I mean, if you really want to, like,
nice. Nice.
Dunk on them. If we gonna dunk on them, then dunk on them. But hey, real quick on the languages piece, I think that's interesting because we have a decent amount of, you know, and I think part of it because, you know, Drew obviously has been a bit of a globetrotter, right? So he's got, we have a lot of good, really good foreign language domains.
You just go on globetrotter.com.
Bam. Also, there you go. Ha. But according to Grok, I just asked, what are the most prevalent languages in the world spoken as a first language? And they said, based on the latest reliable data, Mandarin Chinese, number one with 900 million native speakers. Dominant in China, Taiwan, and Singapore. Spanish is number two, 480 million native speakers. English is number three, followed by Hindi, followed by Arabic, Bengali, Portuguese, Russian, Japanese, and Punjabi. So, yeah, in that case, Spanish number one, English number three.
Yeah, but now say spoken as a first or second language.
English will be number one for that.
English will be number one, and then it'll be Spanish, and then it'll be Mandarin.
All right. Languages.
But I have a bunch of really nice Spanish names and they get traffic, but they don't sell.
Yeah.
And maybe that's also because I'm asking too much, but I think they're great. They also make great brands. So
yeah.
I have crudo, I have chorizo, I have I have burrito? I don't know. I have some really good nice Spanish.
I've got a lot of them too. A lot of them too. And then we own together. We own negro.com.
That's right. And that one gets a lot of traffic too. I have vino. I have Spanish or I guess Portuguese for wine. Vino
with the H.
Yep. Also gets nice. A fair amount of traffic.
How much you want for that?
I think I have it at 500.
Oh, you ain't gonna get that.
Dude, it's wine in a top 10 language. That's a good name.
Yeah, but the problem is, like, the only two places they speak it are Portugal and Brazil. And
don't they drink a lot of wine in Portugal and Brazil?
Angola, Mozambique. Yeah, but in Brazil, they use the .com.br, and in Portugal, they use the .pt.
You know.
So what do you think it's...
Huh. Tough one.
Well, okay, so Drew, we were talking about
I think you probably could sell it to somebody, but I think it's tough. I think it's like high five, very low six.
Mm. Well,
realistically,
on this subject,
but it's one of these dichotomies where it is a huge keyword.
Yeah,
and in Portugal is even a major wine producing nation, but
yeah.
Who are you marketing? Who's the consumer, right? It's got to be a Portuguese audience, right? And your only audience is in Portugal. And in Portugal, you're not going to influence people with a domain name for wine, right? People know it's ingrained. They know what they want. They know what they like. Everybody knows there's only so many producers. Everybody knows them.
So let's go on a quick tangent. So with Google now redirecting everything to .com rather than the local country code, do you think that changes things over time?
I do. I do.
Because
I
you were saying in Portugal, they're going to look at the .pt, and then Brazil, they're going to do the .com.br. But over time...
I think that there's two scenarios here. I think that businesses that truly are local businesses, they probably stay with the ccTLDs. Businesses that are global, that were trying to create local presence using ccTLDs, that party might be over. And not everybody got the message yet, but Google already flipped the light switch on and the party's over, and now people are going to start leaving the room, right? So I think that global businesses are going to default purely to .com. They're going to do away with we need to have a local presence site on all these different ccTLDs, and everything's going to be on the .com. Because at the end of the day, Google is the conductor of the internet. And so when they start moving the wand, everybody follows. So I think that, yes, I think that signals a change. In my opinion.
We shall see.
What do you think, Shane?
Notes for the show notes.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think local people always, I mean, near me there's a reason people put near me in their searches quite a bit. So I think that will always continue. I think there's, I think the spread's just going to grow wider, right? It's going to be very localized, and then there's going to be this other side of comm. There won't be much middle, would be my opinion. So
yeah.
That's really, that to me, that makes sense. All right, cool. Well, that's what's up. All right, so, well, great. Let's keep it moving. So, sorry, to close the loop on it, when you get into the amount of speakers of languages, when you expand beyond first language, English is number one with 1.5 billion total speakers, with 1.1 billion being as a second language. Then you get Mandarin, Hindi, Spanish goes to number four. So this is exactly what you said, Omar. This is, followed by French, Arabic, Bengali, Russian, Portuguese, and Urdu. So it's, interesting stuff and the impact of the language and the value of foreign language domains and, understanding the audience and then the specific regions and even how they access the internet matters. All good stuff. So, all right, Drew.
So nobody bid on Palmetto. It's a terrible name.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to keep talking about other names. But yeah, I mean, it's a last name. I know there's a politician with that name, but I think obviously the bigger play is the,
Spanish.
What does it mean?
To eat. Comer is the general form of the verb, right? It's a non-conjugated form of to eat.
Fucking conjugated, and it's in a conjugal visit.
I don't know what the word is for non-conjugated verb, but
I don't even know, man. All I know is I wasn't real good at English.
I only know because I'm a horrible conjugator of Spanish verbs. Like I always have to use tomorrow or yesterday before I use the present tense of the verb because I can't remember all the different forms of it. I'm terrible when it comes to that. So, I can't remember ERA or VOY. Like it's just practice. But anyway. Yeah.
Well, I don't speak much more words beyond English, so,
You don't work in a garden center.
I don't know what half of that stuff means. No, I'm just playing. But
what do you guys like, JT and Drew?
I really like tempstaffing.com because that's just a massive, massive, massive industry. And they make a lot of money. There's like so many of these agencies and they make a lot of money. So I think temp staffing is a winner. I like Tucson.org. I like sneakerstore.com. Sneakerstore.com, I mean, this is like just a proven business model. I mean, I know there are all these branded sites now, but Sneakerstore just seems like a really just bang on. It's a good brand, even though it's generic. I like that one. Oh, and I like Get Air. I like Get Air. I think it has just a ton of applications. I think it could be flights. I think it could be for like get outdoors. I think it could be for like air purifiers. I think it could be for, CPAP machines. Could be anything. You know what I mean?
Like that. Yeah. Well, and I think that also, Get. We say it a lot, get, I think, is better than try when it comes to alternatives as far as like if you can't get the .com, right? Try feels like it's a trial, you're just try this. It's like, as opposed to get, and I think that get air, like getting air when you jump, Like there's, there's a little colloquial kind
get air. Yeah.
So
I can tell you when I jumped the curb on the median yesterday in my SUV, I got air.
So I like it. I like that one a lot too. So that's cool. All right. Well, that's what's good, man. I think we covered a lot of them. Any that you don't like, Drew, just to close out the list and wrap the show up here in a second.
Anything I don't like? Enjoyparadise.com. Could be like a highlight reel of Suicide Bomber.
It's a marketing name.
Jeez. I was thinking to the travel site, dude. You just like went so dark, man.
Yeah.
No wonder when like the lights went out, you were like, yo, it's time.
Game on.
It's actually, this is just a local blackout. Like it's actually just your house. Like somebody cut the wire doing like the floors down in the basement. Like, nah.
Drew would put the gorilla fight on there.
Yeah, it's
time for these 100 motherfuckers to meet the gorilla.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. So we're gonna stop it there.
That's my new prep objective. I want a pet silverback gorilla. You know what I mean? Like y'all got your like security and all that shit. You know what I'm saying? I got a silverback. I'm gonna just like open up the cage. Like, oh, lights are out, cage is open. I dare you to come on my street.
Yeah, exactly.
100gorillatraining.com.
I think the worst name
is actually the 100 men. It's one gorilla, but yes.
Yeah. Oh,
the worst name on here is AI Tech, I think.
You think that's the worst name?
I think so for me.
I also like Comair.com. Electric Grill is probably the worst name.
Yeah.
Electric Grill. I mean, listen,
I'd rather have that than AI Tech, I think.
I'll take AI Tech too. Nobody will ever buy electricgrill.com. That name, it's the second highest value name on the list. It will never sell. That name let's make a bet.
Let's get, okay.
At auction it will.
No.
He means.
At auction it will sell.
Hold on. Both of you shut the fuck up. How about, let's figure out a way. I would put Electric Grill against AI Tech. Dollar for dollar invested, I think you'll make more money on Electric Grill than you will on AI Tech. So no. What do you? Okay, so let's
yeah,
do
how
it.
Do I think you have a
better.
You,
I think, yeah, I don't how know how do, we're going to do that. I think you have a better chance of reselling AI Tech.
Pro rata. So, if we say AI Tech, how much do you think that'll go for an auction?
AI Tech will go for like roughly $2,000.
$2,000 is the exact number I had.
So, somebody's going to lose $2,000. So let's say they pay $2,000 for that. And then how much will Electric Grill go for?
500 to 700.
I was going to say 425. Yeah.
This is great. Okay. So I'm saying dollar for dollar, you will make a better return on Electric Grill than you will on AI Tech.
The only way we're going to know is we literally have to buy them both.
Right.
Yeah. And so there's a lot of nuance.
Talking about the names we hate.
if you are, you will have the opportunity to exit AITech.com over the next 2-3 years and get your money out of it pretty much at any time. Electricgrill.com, once you own that shit, it's locked up dead. That's bricked money. So what is it called? Hold up. It's almost the same name. I've got singular and the plural. What is the Swiss? Those Swiss grills, you know, they melt the cheese and all the whole joint. It's
the Blackstone, maybe? Is it Blackstone?
Nah.
Got a Blackstone.
Are you talking about the Panini? Not the Panini maker?
Nah. Hold on.
Or not Panini. What the fuck am I thinking? Anyway.
Hold on.
Oh, not fondue?
No. What is it called? Hold up.
It's like a
raclette. So,
oh, the raclette.
Raclette. Okay. That's a big deal. Like, if you go to Austria, Germany, Switzerland, Italy, they got raclette. Raclette is a type of cheese, and they use the raclette grill, right? It's got the stone on top. You cook your meat, you cook your veggies on the top. You got your little, like, it looks like a shovel, and you put it underneath. And you put your cheese in there. You put a little cornichon pickle, little corn, little this, little that. And you got some sauce. Anyway, it's a whole thing. And it's fantastic. It's actually a great social meal. It really is great. You got one upstairs. I got two. And I bought RaclettGrill.com and RaclettGrills.com. Both of them. I'm telling you, I've never had an inquiry. I put that shit in multiple auctions. It doesn't even catch a bid. Like, and it's got a lot of search. Go look it up. Tons of search, got CPCs. I contacted the makers once. Nobody cares. Nobody wants it. Nobody cares. It's just Electric Grill.
That's intel as to why, you know, it, and that helps form your opinion on these particular domains. But I would agree with you. I think AI Tech, if nothing else, just because of the wave and the trend that we're in, that's a name that if you're going to get it for $2,000, you could probably find somebody that's going to buy it from you for $5,000.
Just remember, the trend is your friend till the end. But the till the end part is the most important. The most important part is the till the end part, because the trend always ends. And so when it ends,
I agree, AI Tech is more liquid.
And speaking of the end.
Yeah. We got to go.
You know what I'm saying? Like, boom. Shut it down. Perfect opportunity for us to segue out the show. But, you know, but that's the list. Go to the site, download it. Good luck, everybody. Happy bidding, all that stuff. We are running up and out of time, and we've definitely covered a lot of ground today here on Lights Out on Domain Sherpa. You know, we're with the Red Hot Chili Pepper and the 100 men versus one gorilla. Real fast, we're going to go around the horn to see if anybody's got anything, just because I don't know. You know, I mean, we covered a lot, but maybe we missed something. But Drew, what about you? You got anything else before we go?
Nope. I think I'm good.
All right, good. Good. Dang.
I will say one thing. No, it might be a little too. I think 95% I'm going to be at NamesCon Miami. Change of plans. Yeah, shit moved around, change of plans. I think I will be at NamesCon Miami.
Let's go. Let's get it, y'all. All right, cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, more to follow there. We'll be, you know, so get everybody, let's get rocking.
So shout out NamesCon. We're going to have a discount code for y'all soon.
You getting the suit made? Like, are you getting a new suit made for it?
Yeah, the probably. Tony Montana Scarface all white shit.
I gotta rock linen.
Say hello to my little friend.
You know what I'm saying? Merino wool. Merino wool is a little, speaking of which, I just bought merinowool.com yesterday. But can't show up in Miami in merino wool. You gotta come with linen.
Mm-hmm. He's gonna have his tailor get to work, get him started soon. Ooh, now. Yeah. All right, Shane, what about you?
Yeah, I'm trying to decide on what size I'm going to be when I get there, so I can't get anything too custom.
You just let me know so I know what size to get your hoodie.
Exactly. You know what I mean? I'll be in Miami, too. I sell honey to a Cuban restaurant there, so we're all going to go visit on me to the Cuban restaurant. Use the hot honey in all their food. Shout out to Bored Cuban restaurant.
Bored Cuban.
Oh, look Cuban. Oh, look, mm-hmm. Cuban sandwich with some hot honey. Woo,
yeah, let's go. All right, they show up.
They buy about 50, 60 pounds a month of it. So shout out.
No way.
Yeah. Good customer. But DSAD.com, we're doing a newsletter form for the people that just want it in the mailbox. Damn. Trying to add some of that stuff. And people don't know, but we've been tracking sales privately for the last 14 years. So we're starting to give out some of that data as well. We just kept it in-house to make buying decisions, but now we're sharing it publicly. So that's part of the newsletter, as you'll see today. It's what I do every day. 6,400 lists have gone out so far, we noticed, over the past 17 years. It's crazy. Yeah. I don't know how I did everything before when I was working the nursery 70 hours a week. I have no clue how I got everything done, but.
Well, and then you got your.
Domains are fun.
Yep. And then the podcast you just did, I know we talked about it last week, but that's.
Yeah. I was on Money Wise. I was, you know, it was a tough one. That was going to be like this show. It was a 3-hour conversation knocked down to 43 minutes. Of cutting. And you know, I shared a lot. That was kind of part of the deal, is you share your net worth. I've never really shared all the things. And honestly, I think it's good to go and look at all your assets. We're pretty crazy when it comes to investors. We got stuff everywhere. Yeah. It literally, after I looked and saw all the different crazy things I owned, I redid my will, like literally afterwards, because I realized I better tell everybody where everything is, because I forgot how many crazy 7-acre pieces of land I owned here and 20. I mean, I just had money everywhere over the past 15 years. And, but I did share a lot, and but I thought it was important, like dealing and working with family and friends. It's a hard life, right? Like there's a lot of decisions and there's just not a lot of people that come through 30 years with a happy marriage, kids that are well-adjusted, a business that goes well. Every podcast you listen to has one of all that, but hardly ever all of it. So yeah. I was kind of proud of myself when it was all said and done that I've had a pretty fucking good life. But I've also worked hard to make sure that every aspect of it is managed well, right? A lot of sacrifices. So I don't have as much money as I could because I put a lot of time to family and personal business. And I don't have as great of home life as some people do because I did have to work 70 hours a week. So I think it's a decent listen of how difficult it can be, but how wonderful it can end up too. So I enjoy doing it, and I'll probably do more of it, maybe not share that much, but and I've done some good things. I think people are comforted in hearing some of it. So I'll keep sharing those kind of things. And MoneyWise, cool. As Drew know, he was almost on the show. Sam Parr and those guys do a really good job of asking good questions and bringing out good stuff. So they do an excellent, very professional podcast over there.
Nice.
Yeah. Super cool, dude. Yeah. No, I mean, obviously good to be organized and have your stuff together. And sometimes going through exercises like that, where you're sort of forced to, hey, you know, this is what I've got or whatever, you know, it's like, sometimes that's the motivation you need to get your life in order. But Amar?
No.
I got nothing, man. I'll see you all at NamesCon.
Yo, let's go. We'll get a Sherpa on there. We're going to have some fun, man. It's going to be really good. So, all right. Well, with that, big shout out to NamesCon. And then since we're talking conferences, I mean, we'll be there. We'll be involved. Drew will probably speak. We'll probably do a Sherpa. And then after NamesCon, a few months later, we'll have the ICA event in January in Vegas. So, you know, I think that the two, to me, I think, you know, I really like what we're seeing in the domain space. They're spread out pretty well. You know, I mean, maybe, you know, NamesCon could be a little bit earlier just to not be so close, but I don't think there's a ton of overlap. You kind of get towards the end of the year, then a new fresh year kind of thing, and there's enough differences between the two. I think they'll coexist very well. I love the whole Vegas. And then you got Miami. I mean, I think that's awesome. I mean, there's other ones too. Nordic Domain Days, you know, you've got, you know, a bunch of stuff that, you know, there's some others, but I think those, you know, when I think about the ones in the U.S. As kind of the big major ones for here, I think that's pretty cool. I like the fact that, you know, NamesCon's making some good positive changes, and the ICA continues to establish themselves as a real factor, with some great stuff coming for that too. So all good stuff, all positive vibes at the moment. You know, lights are back on, you know what I'm saying? We're just doing what we do, and, you know, we're out here just living and buying, selling, making it happen. So, all right. Well, listen, to the audience, thank you guys so much for tuning in, and hit us up if you got any feedback too on the AI agent piece. That's cool. Drew is, you know, he kind of cast that net out there. I'm interested to see what your inbox looks like. We'll talk about it on ourselves also, but good luck with that. And Shane, Amar, you know, like I said, as always, appreciate you guys being on the show as co-hosts. To the audience though, without you, there is no us. So thank you so much for tuning in. We do appreciate it. And, everybody else, thanks so much for being here as well. And, we'll see everybody next time here on Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Peace out, everybody. We'll see y'all soon.